Coming up on Patriots This Week. Thwarted by the Chiefs, the Patriots were impatient marching into New Orleans.
3-0-1 with a 10-day break felt like, you know, a year.
Once again, the Saints defense lived up to the city's nickname. And Tom Brady made it look easy with a big first quarter, the biggest of his career.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Patriots! Throws it again for Hogan, this time wide open.
Our team responded well. We've got to turn the page here and be ready to go against the Texans.
Few know the New England mindset better than Bill O'Brien and his staff of Patriot alumni. And they'll be ready to unleash some of the most electrifying defensive talent in the game.
You know, a very tough, hard-nosed team. They have some incredible players.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
It's one thing to talk about playing with a sense of urgency. It's another to do exactly that. And that was the difference for Tom Brady and the Patriots from one game to the next as they beat the New Orleans Saints and even their record. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Sosia, along with my radio partner from 98.5, the Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, and Matt Chatham, the three-time Super Bowl champion for the New England Patriots. And guys, let's start with Brady. After the Kansas City game, talked about a greater commitment, a winning attitude, playing with that sense of urgency. And then he came blazing out of the gate against New Orleans, involving just about everybody, en route to the first-ever three-touchdown passing first quarter of his career.
Probably could add five. I was amazed that was the first one. You know, 17, 18 years into it, and here he is lighting them up early. And it started at the top with him. You know, he held himself accountable the week prior. He was sloppy that first drive against Kansas City. This week, pinpoint perfect, right down the field. He got the backs going early, too. I thought Rex Burkhead. I mean, he had eight snaps, had the most receiving yardage, and then he gets hurt with the rib. But I thought the most important part of the game was getting number 87 going. Whether it's on movement, whether it's formation, it was blocking, it was a little pop pass here. And I thought, somebody's got to take over this offense. Not necessarily be the guy that's always going to be targeted, but be that force. Julian Edelman was always that force. He's the guy that made this thing tick. It's time for Rob to take over and do that. Not that Rob never has done that, but we saw glimpses of the old big guy in. Knock on wood, hopefully that groin injury isn't going to be serious or something that bugs him down the road.
I thought Josh also rolled a really good first half for this reason. Sort of, you have that first game. Everyone only has one game of tape to review. They had sort of the running element with Hogan in the first game, and they off fakes with that created other plays.
Yeah.
The big screen to Burkhead came off that reverse action. So, you know, as a player, you're watching it. You start to see that action happen again, and you react to it. They got Cooks involved as a ball carrier now. I thought the real important part for this game is what they did after that. You know, they put it up early, but that sort of toughness that Tommy was talking about, that's what came later.
Even involved Dorsett on a jet sweep, too. And when we talk about the running backs getting involved, though, James White, eight catches in that game, including a couple of big gainers early.
The development of James White, not only this year, but through the offseason, and you hear Tom Brady talk about him and the trust he has, and he's played with a lot of good backs, a lot of good guys, going back to Vereen, Kevin Falk. The screen pass was huge in this game. You know, and screen pass, Matt, you know, it's not easy to defend. It's not also easy to run. It's a timing. It's a timing concept. Everybody's got to be on the same page.
But not every back has sort of the timing that he does. And because he doesn't really make dramatic cuts, but he's quick, if that makes any sense.
Danny Woodhead.
Like, he kind of just,
Woodhead did
he
it
just
here.
Slides and hides.
Yeah.
He's hard to locate. If you have him in man, he's hard to find. And it's not just that, you know, he also looks effortless. It's not just that he's quick and fast, and all backs are quick and fast. He makes moves and then takes off, and he's gone before you know it.
Yeah, he's right. It's a move and go, where a guy like Deion Lewis, it's cut,
you know,
it's
real dramatic.
Cut. Yeah.
This guy just kind of slides and takes off.
That's a nice thing to have, though. They got four guys who can do different things. So the skill set of these four backs, it's as good as I've seen in years.
And the one guy who has no place to hide out there is the one you mentioned, to tight end Rob Gronkowski. Caught a pass early for the second third down conversion, I believe, on that first drive. Key to get him engaged. And then the touchdown pass, the adjustment he and Brady made on eye contact alone, it seemed, to lead to that lofted throw down the right side.
He got a lot of criticism the week before because everybody said, well, you know, it looks like he lost a step. He had Eric Berry hanging on him. There were three no calls. We talked about this after the Kansas City game. And people get upset because Rob throws his hands up. What are you supposed to do when you're getting held by three guys?
I thought that was the big change this week. It was less of the downfield balls. Well, I mean, the broken play is different, but less of the seam and back shoulder stuff, more of the get him breaking, because when he breaks, that's when it's hard
to defend. Is that easier to cover downfield? The verticals?
The verticals are easier to cover.
You don't want to go up.
What's
and
tough
cut.
With Rob is you can kind of hang with him till the point where he cuts. And when he cuts, he's 6'7". Two strides, and that's when Tom always hits him. You can't cover that distance.
He needs one step.
The really important part here, though, with Gronk being used that way, is that a team tried to blitz Tom to do that. And that's why the vacancy was there. That middle, what, would have been the middle hole player who would have been standing there where Gronk catches that in cut at 3rd and 7, they rushed him. And does a rusher even affect Tom? No, he doesn't get anywhere near him. So when you do that, there's vacancies in the back end. If he hadn't thrown out to Gronk, could have thrown it to Chris too. He was soloed and running route all by himself.
Now on the other side of the ball, Patriots defense did give up some big plays, but nonetheless an improved performance. And we saw a couple of youngsters have a big role. Dietrich Wise,
yeah,
getting to the quarterback, 5 quarterback hits, yeah, with a sack among them. Adam Butler makes his first start for the Pats. And then on the back end, Jonathan Jones has to come in with a couple of pass breakups.
So 2 days ago, I go back and I watch the game. And I only watch the defensive side. It's a nice thing about DVR and technology. Now you can kind of speed through things.
Right. And
the defense played better than when I thought I was watching a game live.
Right.
And I credit Matt Patricia, because when you get back there and you look at it, some of those balls they completed about that I talked about earlier, that's a Hall of Fame quarterback dropping the ball in.
Perfect.
And we take it for granted with Brady when Brady does it, because we expect it. Okay, Drew Brees is going to make some plays too. So when you go back and say, well, they gave up this, that, and the other, I'm like, well, how do you coach that any differently?
Right.
Coverage is pinpoint. Yeah. The ball's thrown in the spot where only their guy can get it. And they ran a pick play for a touchdown, too.
I think on a second look, Lawrence Guy was almost dominant. Like, really.
He was in the backfield.
One, yeah, over and over again. Pressing his guy, making the back make cuts.
It's hard
watching
93 because I keep thinking Seymour.
Right,
like, that's not Richard Seymour. That's not Richard.
Yeah. And Landon Roberts is another fun one. Why? He won't be on your stat sheet. And that's okay, because what he does is read very quickly, goes and gets pullers, blows them up, blows everything else up, and then someone else makes a play. You love having guys like that on your defense. The one thing that is an outstanding issues not yet resolved, but it's not surprising, is the bus against Stacks and Bunches. It happened again, the one where Gilmore ran into one another. So say if Zoe and I are both defensive players, both covering guys, the cardinal rule is you can't be on the same plane as one another pre-snap, because you're going to run into each other, right? So usually if he's up, I got to be back. If I'm up, he's got to be back. They just made that sort of young guy mistake, which is weird.
You get later in the year. What do you think Pittsburgh and Denver are going to
do? They're all
Denver
gonna
and Pittsburgh make a living out of that. That's how they get Antonio Brown free.
They're going to do this, so you have to get better at it, obviously. And usually it's just, like you said, it's a matter of communication, but you also have to sort of come to an agreement about, okay, first out, first in, first vertical, first low, whatever it is, but get on the same page, and until you solve it, people continue to do it to you.
One of those guys who got rubbed out on a touchdown pass was Malcolm Butler. He didn't start the game. Read into that?
Yeah, I think it's something worth watching. I mean, this is a guy that 2 years ago played 98% of the snaps, 99% of your snaps last year. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to go into matchups. Malcolm never came off the field. And, you've been around. And here's the thing. And Bill talked about it. Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator this week, talked about it on a conference call. Every year is different. We sit here and we think Malcolm last year, year before, best play in Super Bowl history, makes. That's history. And it's about this year and moving forward. And maybe they're seeing something. So I don't know. I mean, I like him as a player. I think he's a gamer. You know, there's a size issue. No offense. But, I mean, you don't want to cover me, you know, in basketball. It's just, and I understand if there's a 6'3", 6'6", guy, which there weren't a field. Right. I mean, there were other times last year and the year before where there were 6'6 guys out there and he was still out there in the field.
But I think now they have a comfort level with Rowe where if they feel like they have a better matchup, they can switch it up. I think Coleman was a tall guy.
Well, if Rowe's playing, if Rowe's showing something in practice, and this is what Malcolm did 3 years ago, played well in practice, earned reps in games, he's playing his way onto the field.
I think the way they look at it is they have three. They have three now and they're going to play the one they like the most.
They need them all.
There's other situations across the roster where you could do the same thing in hot take week to week. Alan Branch had a real low rep count. I think Alan Branch is a big part of what they do going forward.
Well, rather than sit here and continue to be bullied by you, I'm going to invite Don Banks into the studio for his bank shots.
Bully
and
we'll
look around the NFL right after this as we continue on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Jonathan Jones. The undrafted free agent deprived the Saints of a touchdown when he stripped the ball out of the hands of Ted Ginn Jr. in the end zone. Then with Eric Rowe sidelined, the 5'10 defensive back broke up a sideline pass intended for the 6'6" Brandon Coleman. A 4-year starter at Auburn, the 23-year-old has been a stellar special teams player since signing with the Pats last year. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios and Patriots This Week. Time now for some bank shots with Don Banks and a look around the NFL. And Don, we'll start in Denver, where there was a weather delay. It never really looked like Ezekiel Elliott got going for the Cowboys. Dak Prescott had the game put on his shoulders and didn't fare well against that Broncos defense.
No, and we heard all offseason that Dak was ready to take that step and carry the load if need be. But that was the first time we really saw Ezekiel Elliott taken out of a game. And it shifted to Dak, and he didn't step up. And I think Dallas at least realizes now that's a vulnerability they may have to see again.
Didn't step up, also gave up on an interception.
Not a good look. I don't think it's the biggest story in the world, but it does smack of a guy who hasn't lost much, doesn't know how to act in a blowout losing situation, and has actually probably been coddled a bit at Ohio State and told that the rules don't all apply to him.
Meanwhile, in Cincinnati, no replacing Marvin Lewis, but he's replacing Ken Zampese, who's offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a move of desperation. I think it's a move that signals after 15 years, Marvin Lewis's era probably has reached its expiration date. And I think this is a team in the throes of a downward spiral. Don't forget, Andy Dalton was supposed to be the answer long term. He's already potentially going to be benched in favor of A.J. McCarron any week now.
Yeah, a lot of dissension, it seems, starting to bubble up, percolate in that locker room.
When the word mutiny is used, it's never a good development for any coach or locker room.
Meanwhile, the rallying around Marshawn Lynch by the Bay in his hometown of Oakland, where he's not only running for yards for the Raiders but doing dances on the sidelines, they're feeling good about the way they've started.
Leave it to the Raiders, Bob, to come up with a new look for a lame duck team trying to leave a city. We've never seen anyone celebrate kind of on their way out, but this is a strange situation for the Raiders, a three-year farewell for starters, and then a Super Bowl contending team, and I think this is a team that's starting to feel it.
Meanwhile, on the other coast, full house at MetLife Stadium, but not a good night for their Giants and Ben McAdoo, the head coach.
I thought Ben McAdoo really showed his inexperience by kind of launching into Eli Manning. First of all, he stood up and said, this one's on me, and then he turned the tables and said that it was sloppy quarterback play. I saw a lot of sloppy coaching, to be honest. When a team has O-line problems, the offense never looks good. But right now, the Giants need to get back to some sort of semblance of a running game and block a little bit, because Manning wasn't dropping those passes. Manning wasn't, you know, sacking himself six times. I think it comes down to the offensive line. But right now, I think McAdoo has to kind of take the blame on his shoulders and keep it there.
Don, thanks as always.
Thanks, Bob.
It's Don Banks with his bank shots. Scott and Matt rejoin me right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. And why not have one of the most highly touted quarterbacks of the 1991 draft talk about one of the best young quarterbacks in Deshaun Watson, right? I had speed. This kid, he's a little bit faster than I was. But watch the passing ability right here. This is good. Freeze it right there. See, what this is the old Clemson concept. So if I'm Billy O'Brien, don't force this kid to run your offense. Do things that he does well. Clemson, he threw a ton of these in routes. That's 15-yard dig, sticks it right in there. That's a nice, good throw. Right here, stop it. What you got? The threat of the run. Why? The legs. There's a little fake underneath, and I'm concerned about the Patriots' young linebackers getting stuck up there. Okay, freeze it right here. I want you to stop. What happened prior to this? I don't know if you saw this game. Geno Atkins absolutely trucked this kid. So talk about poise. This is the very next play. 50 yards to go. What's he do? A little scamper. You think he's going to pick up the first round? I mean, excuse me, first down? No. Kick it outside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's number 8 in trail. Deshaun Watson just went past 8 guys. And I'm telling you, if you're the secondary of the New England Patriots, you better watch this kid because he'll go right by you. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as we ready for week 3 in the NFL and the Patriots versus the Texans. And here we go again, guys. Fourth time they meet in 12 months, including the preseason this year and, of course, the postseason last year. But this will be the first game for the Pats defending in regular season play against Deshaun Watson, the 22-year-old quarterback who's the ninth different starting quarterback in Bill O'Brien's short tenure there.
I'm worried about the legs. I mean, we saw the 53-yard touchdown, see that in the Zoe Show. His ability to run. And that's going to be the key. What are you going to show him coverage-wise that's going to make him pull that ball down and run? And I think, to his point earlier about Landon Roberts, a guy can run and move and ping-pong off people. This could be a big Roberts game as far as if Deshaun Watson starts to hurt you. Can you key him? Can you bring Pat Chung up in that front seven to where now I'm going to use him as a spy?
If you have two things missing, something over the nose that's rushing so that he has to go left or right and can't run up the middle, and you usually see that with four-man rushes because it's two and two, and then that provides that middle lane where for him to just take off, or if you don't spy. And Zotes sort of touched on that. Could be Roberts, I guess. It could be Vannoy. It could be in any number of guys. It could be a safety. You might want to find a guy with legs that can keep up with
him. McCourty's got great. He's your best tackler right now.
Yes, exactly.
McCourty and Butler. I mean, this is a game where Malcolm Butler should start this game because of his ability to support on the run and tackle and go down and have a little bit of an edge.
Here's the important part, though, too, with the kind of defensive linemen they kept. I think they kept them, well, they did well in camp, but also in part, these are the guys that work for that. Dietrich Wise is long and a basketball guy that can retrace the pocket. Adam Butler, yeah, he's big and heavy, but he's quick, and he's a real good pursuit guy. Those are the kind of guys you want. You don't want slugs chasing an athletic quarterback.
They not only went against each other in the preseason, they had joint practices at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, and I know Bill says there's really no schematic advantage, but nonetheless, is there an advantage between playing against a guy and realizing how fast he is, like Deshaun Watson, as opposed to just watching a guy on video?
The best example there is Harvey Long. He was a rookie, hadn't played much, had pocket broke on him twice in the preseason game. So Longy's going to go back in. I think he'll have a role. He had a little bigger role against the Saints, and he'll now know in his head, okay, he's faster than me, right? And I can't blow into the tackle, do a nice job against the tackle, because first two strides that guy takes on me, he's gone. So it teaches you a sort of a little lesson in your head that you have to be a little more cautious on the edge. That's good. So now you play it honest.
Houston's really good at pushing the middle of that pocket. My concern is the middle. You know, the two guys on the edge, it should be okay. But Vrabel's a smart guy, and he knows what bugs Brady. And Brady hates having people at his feet pushing the middle to where Tom now has to start to fade. Take away Tom's ability to step up, that's going to cause problems for New England.
Well, Matt, talking about the defensive game plan of Houston in January, the diamond defense, how did they put the pressure on Brady and cover the Patriots at the
diamond
same time?
Diamond is Romeo's. Bill probably did it with the Giants back a time ago. It means five-man line. It's what the Patriots have been doing. But they were standing, clowning, or sometimes standing the guy that's over the nose, the fifth guy, right?
So that
he's in, he's out, you don't know what's going to happen. But the important part there, and Zoe touched on it, it's what Vrabes, I think, was going to smartly approach this as, get in Tom's lap, get on the front porch.
Deion Lewis had a big night against the Texans, in part on special teams, but a touchdown running, also touchdown receiving, matched up against a linebacker. Is this a game where the Patriots, again, get those running backs involved early?
Yeah, himself, Burkhead, I think White, but Deion Lewis from a perimeter standpoint to where you're going to be able to outflank them. They lack speed at the linebacker position.
These teams are on the offensive line. The Texans beat up the Patriots' offensive line. You mentioned Nate Solder.
Yeah.
Do they have to be better this week?
Well, I think, Nate, this is game three now, physical contact. Nate didn't play in the preseason.
Yeah.
And you could go through as many walkthroughs or, you know, little thud periods. They don't hit anymore. There's no contact. When everything's flying at you and you got to pick it up in real time, it's tough. And like I said, and I've told you this, there are three people out there. Everybody in the stadium's going to know when you screw up. Cornerbacks, quarterbacks, and backside tackles.
Right.
It's the third most difficult position to play.
Yes, Nate gave up a couple pressures, but here's the hard, cold facts here. You don't get 36 points without good protection. So he played a lot of reps. He defended his position pretty well most of the time. But like you mentioned, a couple that they gave up, and those will start to go away as he gets more reps.
Yeah, and I think the point about not playing at all in the preseason is a very important one. All right, Pats and the Texans once again as they meet for the second time in 2017. These guys come back and tell you how it all unfolds at Gillette right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
All right, last minutes remain on Patriots This Week. Matt Chatham, Pats, and the Texans in Week 3. Who prevails? Who's the game changer?
This is a tough trip. I'm going to go Patriots 27-13. Game changer for me is Brandon Cooks. We're sort of at that whisker point. It's so close to being there. And they start having the ability now to feature him a little bit with a couple cornerbacks down against the Texans. Big day for him.
I'm taking Rob Gronkowski in this game, guys. I'm all in on this is a minor groin injury. And if I'm wrong, he's wrong. I'm going to smack him upside his head. Because we talked about the backs. They're down linebackers. The safeties are okay. A.J. Bowie, he's not there anymore. So that nickel guy, that other corner that Brady, I don't want to say feared, he's not there. Gronkowski should be huge in this game, huge in a red zone. 33-10 Patriots.
Hey, I believe the Pats are 15-5 all-time under Belichick against rookie quarterbacks, and none have won at Gillette. It's the Patriots and the Texans in Week 3, and then, of course, the Pats and the Panthers in Week 4. We'll look ahead to that game next week when we rejoin you on Patriots This Week. Until then, however, for Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and Don Banks, I'm Bob Soucy. So long, everyone.